From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palka reporting. South Korea conducts military tests of its own.
We are not looking to the total annihilation of a country, namely North Korea.
U.S. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis after North Korea conducted its sixth nuclear test, this time using what Pyongyang described as a hydrogen bomb. This prompted South Korea's military to fire a series of missiles into the Sea of Japan in an exercise today meant to simulate an attack on North Korea's nuclear test site. We asked security expert Shamil Jaffer whether it actually could have been a hydrogen device.
Either way, it's a very big deal. Obviously, it's six nuclear tests, the second in about a year, and concerning because of the size of the weapon. If it is a hydrogen bomb, that represents a significant change in North Korean capability because it shows their ability to do a two-stage nuclear weapon. Essentially means you can get a lot more explosive power out of the same size weapon.
The UN Security Council has called for an emergency session today to deal with the latest nuclear provocation by Pyongyang. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi is in Myanmar for meetings today with leader Aung San Suu Kyi, as well as the country's military commander and the national security advisor, to discuss the ongoing crisis in Rakhine State. The UN Refugee Agency says 87,000 Rohingya have fled from Rakhine to neighboring Bangladesh since an eruption of violence late last month. The influx has left agencies struggling to keep up with demands for supplies and medical care. Kenya's opposition leader Raila Odinga says his coalition would not share power 2 days after the Supreme Court annulled the presidential election results, citing irregularities. Now, incumbent President Uhuru Kenyatta, who won last month's polling over Odinga, also said his party would not share power either. This is VOA News. An Iranian appeals court has upheld 10-year jail terms against a U.S. citizen, two Iranian-Americans, and a U.S. resident from Lebanon who earlier had been convicted on spying charges. Indiana University analyst Hussein Banai sees this as a victory for hardliners in Iran who have a twofold purpose.
Leverage their differences with the United States, especially as Washington ratchets up its talk against the terms of the nuclear deals or Iran's violations of the terms of the nuclear deals. This is one way to put more bargaining chips on the table by the hardline judiciary.
And Banai said it is designed to keep the government of President Hassan Rouhani and its relations with the West in check. Sunday was a day of prayer in the U.S. state of Texas following the devastation wrought by Hurricane Harvey, which came ashore on August the 25th, leaving more than 40 dead and tens of thousands homeless. Congress is considering initial funding at nearly $8 billion, but Texas Governor Greg Abbott said the price tag will likely exceed that of another powerful storm, Hurricane Katrina in 2005.
Katrina cost, if I recall, more than $120 billion. When you look at the number of homes and businesses affected by this, I think this will cost well over $120 billion, probably $150 to $180 billion.
Flooding remains a problem, with some rivers still at dangerous levels. Climate change will dominate discussions when the leaders of Pacific nations hold their annual meeting in the Samoan capital this week. The 18-member Pacific Islands Forum includes countries such as Kiribati and Tuvalu, which are only meters above sea level and risk being swamped by rising oceans due to what scientists continue to identify as global warming. A young Scottish entrepreneur who built a mini satellite in his bedroom in Scotland is now working with the European Space Agency to send his device into orbit. Tom Walkinshaw's satellite is expected to offer faster and more accurate tracking of airplanes, ships, and weather monitoring.
Recently, through miniaturization of electronics and standardization, the doors have opened up for a lot more people to try and build things and build individual satellites and eventually constellations, so like fleets of satellites.
The 27-year-old inventor is hoping his invention will eventually be one of thousands of satellites circling the Earth, tracking transport systems and giving constant updates. The first Monday in September in the United States is Labor Day, a holiday honoring U.S. workers and their contributions to the nation's economy. It became an official holiday in 1894 after a push by the nation's labor unions. For decades, cities used the occasion to stage large parades honoring unionized factory workers. Labor unions have seen their membership fall steadily in the past three decades with the growth of technology and the globalization of the world economy. Joe Palka in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.